good afternoon. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
You work for a company which is very much involved in space. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about the establishment of the company and what its activities are.
Well, the company is AusSpace, which in a sense sums it up, Australian Space. And we were originally a spin-off from the Australian National University, so the word Australia crops up everywhere. We were formed in 1982 as a result of the interest at the Australian National University in space instrumentation, and at the same time the interest by Marconi in the potential for involvement in the AusSat program. And a group of engineers was set up at Mount Stromlo to work on photon-counting detectors to be applied to spacecraft, because the detectors developed at Mount Stromlo had a technological edge over any in the world at the time, and were well suited to space use.
So photons are particles of light?
That's right, and these detectors can count particle by particle, which is quite a feat. It's a very, very small amount of energy per photon. It's been described as the amount of energy that an amoeba gets when it throws itself off the edge of a piece of paper.
Amazing, because I know that when people are looking in ordinary light, there are literally billions of photons or billions of particles of light entering your eye at one time, and you can count these one at a time.
That's right. Your eye can count down to about 100 photons in a packet under very good conditions, but we can count each photon as it comes in. And in our ultraviolet detectors, we can count roughly 8 out of 10 that come in. So it's both sensitive and accurate.
So ultraviolet light, of course, is the light that causes tanning of the skin and skin cancer. In space, presumably there's a lot more ultraviolet light, because we hear about the ozone layer protecting us. So you're taking this payload. What's the payload called?
The payload we're going to fly is called Endeavour, and it was a proof of concept payload for a program called Starlab, which was the original program that the ANU detectors were aimed at. You're right, there's the ultraviolet stops at the edge of the atmosphere, fortunately, but the interesting thing for the astronomers about the ultraviolet is that it's where all the exciting high-energy things are happening, the ultraviolet and the X-ray. So that's why the space telescope has an ultraviolet capability, and why NASA has just launched the AXAF facility to look at these high-energy events where black holes are pulling stars apart and so on.
So you get the instrument above the ozone layer, above the atmosphere, and your detector then picks up those rays that don't reach the Earth.
That's right.
And where do these rays come from? We've mentioned black holes. They come from the Sun, of course.
They come from hot objects, essentially, either hot or otherwise energetic objects. Young hot stars, exploding galaxies, collapsing objects.
When did you make the package? I know there's been a problem getting it into space. Could you tell us a little about that, please?
Yes, the history of the Endeavour program is that the Australians were involved in this Starlab program, which was a collaborative effort between NASA, Canada and Australia, and part of the Australian role was to provide the detectors, which are really the heart of these instruments. But naturally, the international community said, this is a good idea, but will it work? We need to see it work before we can actually commit to a fully-fledged hundreds of millions of dollar program. So the Endeavour project was proposed as a proof of concept flight. That occurred in about 1984, and between 1984 and 1988 the payload was designed, built and tested, ready for flight. It was to have been a bicentennial project, so 1988 was the year that it was due to fly. It was finished in time for flight in 1988, but of course the shuttle problems meant that there was a considerable delay. And so, as of today, the payload is still waiting for a flight, which we think will be early in 1992 at this stage. And so, since 1988, it's been sitting, waiting in the clean room up at Mount Stromlo Observatory, protected in dry nitrogen. And
Why do you do that? Why do you put it into nitrogen?
The telescopes in this are high-performance, innovative telescopes with what are called multi-layer optical coatings on them. They're a bit like the coatings on camera lenses or your glasses, but instead of suppressing reflections, they're designed to enhance reflections in the ultraviolet, and they allow very high throughput in a defined narrow wave band so that we can look at specific lines due to nitrogen, carbon and oxygen. but they're delicate. They're formed by evaporation of multiple layers of exotic materials. If they're exposed to too much wet atmosphere and water vapour, they'll degrade over time, the efficiency drops.
And you'd certainly get a lot of that on the top of Mount Stromlo.
That's right, yes, we get some quite humid days there.
Right. And my last understanding of the manifestation of this was that it was going to fly on the Endeavour, the first flight of the Endeavour. Is that still the case?
I'm not sure exactly when it's flying at the moment. That is certainly a possibility, and it would be quite a nice coincidence, but we're still discussing, because the problem is a lot of shuttle flights don't meet astronomical requirements. Often either the shuttle goes into what's called rotisserie mode to keep it uniformly warm, or into earth-facing mode, and neither of those is really suited to astronomy. We need to wait for a mission that's looking into deep space.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Space Show, Ed.
It's been a pleasure, Andrew.